If you will, be opening your Bibles there to John chapter 17. And let me go ahead and earmark saying that if you guys see me sweating this evening, it's not because I'm hot. It's because I'm wondering if I'm still going to have a job here after tonight by keeping y'all till at least 6:30. Now, I'll promise you this. If we will get through this material tonight, you will come away blessed. And you'll come away being able to come here and worship God and feeling closer to Him. At least that's my prayer tonight. If I was to ask you tonight to write down your final statements, knowing that tonight was going to be your last night on this earth, your body's going to breathe this last breath tonight, I wonder what your words would say. I wonder if after you pass away, if we read it, what things would be on your heart and on your mind during that time that you wrote this? You know, we hear stories of men who are able to, you know, give their final speech because of they had some kind of illness and they were able to go to their college and write their memoirs, all these great things they wanted to tell the world before they died. But tonight, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at a man's final hours, his final wishes upon this earth. And we're going to look at this man whose name is Jesus Christ. On John chapter 17, this is the high priestly prayer is what we call this. This is one of Jesus' final moments on this earth. And he's praying to God on behalf of us. Now, Ethan just read a second ago verses 1 through 10, and if you've ever read this prayer before, it is kind of tricky, and Ethan did a very good job with it, and it's kind of complicated because Jesus says, Father, please bless them and keep them, unify them as me and you are one, so they may be one, so the world may know that we are one. And Jesus had us in mind. But look in verse 11. Verse 11 says that I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Talking about his disciples, those guys who are in that garden with him, just a few feet away, they're with him right now. And Jesus is saying, God, I'm not going to be in this world much more longer, but these guys will be. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Father, unify my disciples so they may be one. Guys, do we know about these disciples? Have we studied these disciples and know the kind of guys that they were? Let me think about it here. We have Simon Peter, who was a zealot. We know that just a few minutes after this prayer, he reaches in his sword and going to attack the guy who comes to arrest Jesus. He is willing to fight and give his life down for Jesus for this earthly kingdom. But Jesus didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. And Peter is more than willing to fight for it. He's a zealot. You have James and John, who just a few days earlier asked Jesus, say, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, please place us at your right hand. Don't worry about these other guys. Make us more important than the rest. How do you think? And James and John were very standoffish there. They put themselves first before the other disciples. Just a few minutes earlier at the Last Supper, there was a great debate of who was the greatest amongst the disciples. Judas. Judas was with them the whole time, and he was a thief, and he was a betrayer. Maybe later on, when they realized that this guy had been doing all these things all along, how do you think that made them feel if they were able to trust one another? And of course, we know Matthew, the tax collector, who was worked for Rome, if you will. He was a person who cheated other people. So Jesus prays for these guys and says, Father, with me, I'm leaving. They're staying here. Please. And Jesus turned towards his disciples. Notice in verse 21. It says that they may be one just as you, Father, and I are in one. I and you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus is talking about the future generation Christians. That's us. That's the church that he is going to establish. He prays for us to be unified, for us to be one. You know what? In a way, we're like the disciples. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different places in this country. We have different experiences in this life. We are different people. We have different issues. We have different problems to God, that just like the disciples had their issues, that they might be one. So tonight I want to talk about some ingredients, some ways in which we can help ourselves, help this church, help each other, and most importantly, help ourselves so that we can make this place more unified. If you will, turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4.